Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, we will open this worship service with the singing of Psalter 10, the first and the third stanza. In the fullness of thy grace to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place in thy fear will worship there. Lead me in thy righteousness, let my foes assail in vain, lest my feet be turned aside, make thy way before me plain. We mention to you Psalter 10, the first and the third stanza. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in the book of Proverbs and the 78th chapter. We mentioned to you Proverbs chapter 8, but before we will read the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear witness, false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. He mentioned to you Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, In my reverend youth and choice silver, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set up a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death so far.
When we seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer, we will command unto the Lord the infant daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Neil Corvar, who is still in St. Thomas Elgin General Hospital. The mother is there usually too, and we are thankful she may be in God's house this morning. Mrs. Jessica Hooflaker needs day surgery on Tuesday to remove her gallbladder. Luke Hooflaker was in hospital but was able to return home again. The father of Miss Gardia will be needed chemotherapy and will be in Colombia for treatments. And let us now seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer. Merciful and eternal Lord, may there be such a people this morning that could sing it with the heart that is touched to thy house. I will repair a people who have a desire to worship thee there. What is it a wonder, Lord, that thou hast given an opportunity to be together in this morning of thy day, that thou hast kept and spared us in the week that lies behind, that no one of us has been taken away, but that we all may be still in the land of the living. Yea, that thou wilt come unto us with thy precious word to teach and instruct. That thou hast come to us already with thy holy law, that law that must testify against us, that law that must plead us guilty, that must condemn us, as we have transgressed all thy commandments and kept none of them. But Lord, that Sunday when we may be in thy house, thy day, that may also testify about that gospel, about the him who has come to keep that law and to bear the punishment of sin for all thy people. And when also in this thy day that may be heard law and gospel, death in Adam and life in Christ, then we beseech thee that it may find entrance in the heart of young and old, that we may become guilty ones before thee and may be given to cry unto thee, O God, be merciful unto me, the sinner. For we all need it, young and old. We all need it, be it well for the time and for eternity. O Lord, wilt thou then graciously forgive all that was amiss in thoughts, in words, in deeds, the sins of commission that we have committed, and the sins of omission by not doing what thou hast required. But wilt thou send thy Spirit to work mightily in the heart of each of us, to break what is yet a heart, to open what is yet closed, and that it may be heard this morning, that sound of a rushing mighty wind, like as on Pentecost, and that it may be seen, those cloven tongues like as of fire, that work of thy Spirit may become evident. Lord, wilt thou then remember the entire congregation, all those that have come up with us in this special hour, with these dear young people who are here this morning to make public confession. O Lord, remember thy people. Thou knowest what they stand in need of. Thou knowest the frame, maybe nameless ones in our midst, may they hear their name this morning. Be those that cannot bring themselves anywhere anymore, that they may hear it, I will lead. There may be a looking away from self and unto thee. Lord, wilt thou remember the sick and the needy? Little child still in hospital, received in the way of the wonder, kept in the way of the wonder, that may grow prosperously in the way of the wonder. Lord, wilt thou remember that little child together with the parents, that they may be gladdened by thy deeds. So when the mother may be in thy house this morning, Lord, give a heart that may be overwhelmed of the wonder, and that may cry out unto the living God. Remember when surgery is needed, wilt thou go with? And make all things well. And we all know, Lord, that in each surgery we need thy help, for in each surgery we are in danger. But may we now be gladdened by thy wonderful deeds also there. And when thou hast brought back from a hospital, remember that young friend and give him also in the furtherance what he needs for body, mind, and soul. That he also may be given to fear thy name as we all need. Remember, Lord, when family members far away are in need and need treatments, the distance is felt. Grant, Lord, all that is needed. And may all those means be blessed. Remember these young people who are here together with us this morning, who have learned and heard the truth, and who are ready this morning to give a solemn oath that they fully believe the truth and desire to live according to the truth, and to stay with the truth. Lord, who is sufficient to these things? As we live in such dangerous times, where Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Lord, give them to be steadfast in the doctrine, to continue to read and to study, and above all to ask, Lord, may it now be experienced in my heart. Remember the entire denomination, but thou hast gladdened in the week that lies behind, where the curatorium was able to accept a man for the study to be prepared for the ministry. We beseech thee, Lord, may thy gracious blessing rest on him. And when men are called to prepare him outwardly, wilt thou prepare him inwardly. That all the instruction be blessed. And we together may be and remain at thy feet, as disciples, as students. More and more have to learn, I am of yesterday, I know nothing. Grant us then a blessed hour in thy house. Take away all that hinders. Look upon us in mercy. And send thy light and truth to in listening and proclaiming be our guide. Help thy servant. Lord, he can only bring thy word unto the ear. We cannot even bring it in the ear and not at all in the heart. But may thy spirit be our constant aid. We beseech thee in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together from 428, 3, 4, and 5. O Lord, how shall a youth preserve his way? At every turn by vanity surrounded. 3, 4, and 5 of 428. It is, beloved, a special hour when we may be together with a number of young people who have prepared themselves for this moment to do public confession. But I hope, my dear young people, that you have not only prepared yourself with outward knowledge, but that the Lord has prepared you. And that there may be some fruit of His word in your hearts. And that may be the reason you desire to be here in this moment. For outward wisdom is good. Hosea says it is people, it's destroyed for lack of wisdom, of lack of knowledge. But outward knowledge is not saving. Only spiritual knowledge, which the Lord works in the heart, that makes us wise unto salvation. And Christ Himself instructs us in that already deep in the Old Testament. In the words of our text that we hope to consider this morning, with the help of the Lord and the waiting His blessing, God's word, our text, can be found in our scripture reading, Proverbs 8, and thereof the verses 20 and 21. And that we read God's word as follows: I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And that we write under this text, a blessed people, led by the Lord. A blessed people led by the Lord. Two thoughts. How they are led. We read it, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. And whereto they are led, for we read, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. A blessed people led by the Lord. How they are led, and whereto they are led. Truly, young and old, it is a blessed people that are led by the Lord, that are not led by the world, that are not led by themselves or by man, but it is a blessed people that is led by the Lord. Solomon, here in Proverbs 8, may speak about it. And you know, Solomon, the son of David, had received much wisdom from the Lord. So outward wisdom and knowledge is not to be despised, although we said it already, that is not saving. But Solomon received a wisdom that is more than the wisdom of the mind. And that we sometimes say that is a foot too high. The wisdom that Solomon had received came from above. That came from God's Spirit. And what he by the light of God's Spirit may explain in our text, that man had first learned that himself.
And then inspired by God's Spirit, he may write the wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, and Psalm 127, and a few things more. Instructing both young and old. What a wonder, young people and older ones, that the Lord has given unto us his word, isn't it? If you ever considered that, beloved, what makes us now to differ from so many who do not have God's word, who just live in a false religion, and what makes us to differ from so many who do have a Bible but live under heresy and a false doctrine? What makes us now to differ that we may have received God's word, and that we also may have the truth according to God's word? Because in that word of God, we read all that is needed, be it well, for time and for eternity. Now also we read that here in Proverbs chapter 8. Because who is he who speaks in our text? I lead, I may cause, I will fail. Who is he? Is that Solomon? No, that is not Solomon. Solomon could outwardly speak unto the youth and outwardly instruct the people of Israel, but the I in our text, that is Christ, of whom he may testify in this entire chapter, that he was even before the foundation of the earth with his Father, who already from the stillness of eternity was with his Father and with the Spirit in the place of his glory. That is the triune God. I, that is that great Solomon, he testifies about his work in the life of a sinner. I, we read it, I lead in the path, in the way of righteousness. And actually, in the Hebrew language, the original language, you can also read, I make to walk. Now, what does that now mean? When the Lord leads, when he makes to walk, well, that means simply that by nature, we are not walking in the way of righteousness. Or rather, we are no longer walking in the way of righteousness, because that was true in paradise. And you have all been instructed in that, right? In all those doctrines, how that we were created good and after God's image, how now that the Lord made us good and saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good, where Adam and Eve had received that true knowledge of God and his will. Do this and ye shall live. But in the day that you eat thereof, ye will surely die. How they now had that true righteousness of heart, that right relationship with the Lord. There was no sin and iniquity and unrighteousness in between. And now they had that holiness, that walking in the way, in the path of righteousness, in the heart and in the life. It was without any sin. The way of righteousness, the way at which the Lord had outlined before them. That way that is right. Because in the word righteousness, you hear the word right, young people. Huh? So what is right in the eyes of the Lord? But what has happened? We all have fallen away. We have turned ourselves away from the Lord in order never to return. Instead of the way of righteousness, we are all running on the way of unrighteousness, on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. We have turned away from the Lord in order never to return. And God's word says it so clearly over and over again, even in the New Testament, in Romans 3, there is no one righteous. That means there is no one walking on the way of righteousness. No, not one. We've all gone out of the way. We've all sinned against a holy and good-doing God. And that is only increasing day by day, a mountain reaching unto heaven of iniquity and unrighteousness. And if now the Lord would do with us according to what we deserve, and there was but one thing possible, if you then want unrighteousness, if you then want to turn away from me, go then and perish in the way of unrighteousness. Because young and old, we all know that each and every road, each and every way leads to a certain destination. Well, where does now the broad way lead you to? That leads us to destruction. You might object this morning and you might say, yeah, but there are also roads that have a dead end. Well, that means exactly the same, because our own ways always have a dead end. They end in eternal death. What do we now need? Be it well for time and eternity. That wonder of which our text may speak this morning. I will. How is that possible? And people, how is that possible? I will. That is only possible because of the triune God, who has from the stillness of eternity opened the way unto salvation, who from the stillness of eternity in his eternal good pleasure has thought out the way to salvation and has chosen himself a people to be saved. And that in the great eye of our text, in his beloved Son, whom he appointed. So may I say it simply. To pave that way of righteousness by his obedience, keeping all the commandments, and by his passive obedience, suffering for the unrighteousness and the iniquity of his people. He who could say, who testifies against me, and who can convince me of sin, and yet was made to be sin in order that his church may be justified, made righteous, declared righteous before God in his finished work. I lead in. I make to walk. How does he do that? I make to walk for those that run on the broad way. How does he now make to walk on the narrow way? Well, then a person needs to be stopped, doesn't he? And there comes a moment in the life of God's people that by his word and by his spirit he will say, thus far and not further, hitherto. Stops them on the broad way. Calls them powerfully and irresistibly, bringing them, I make to walk. That's not work of man. Not your outward confession will make you to walk on the narrow way. Not a lot of knowledge is a proof that you walk on the narrow way. Now that you did your best in learning the questions you had to learn is a proof that you walk on the narrow way. Only when now the Lord works one-sidedly in the heart of a sinner. I make to walk. I lay. What does that mean? Then he takes them by heart and hand. And he breaks the hard heart and makes them guilty sinners before the Lord. Because, beloved, we cannot lead ourselves, or we lead ourselves astray. No one can bring himself on the narrow way and know that is not an excuse to continue in sin and in world and in all that is displeasing unto the Lord. The Lord outwardly still calls. And you and I, we are responsible ourselves for what we do. But we need that indispensable, that irresistible work of God's Spirit to be brought from the broad way onto the narrow way. I lead. I make to walk. Then the eyes need to be opened, that we may see who God is and who we are. And the eyes need to be opened, that we may realize that we have sinned against a holy and a good doing God. I lead in. And he sheds his love in the heart of a sinner. A love that may also give a love in return. That teaches them that sincere sorrow of heart, the mortification of the old man, that we have transgressed against all God's commandments and have kept none of them, and to hate and flee from sin. That is not the people that is looking for the edges. How far can I go? But that is a people that has a desire to stay away from sin as far as possible. There comes a tender life in the first love, and a desire to live according to God's commandments. O Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then a Pharisee like a Paul, he may ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then a publican in the living out of his worldliness and sin, he will ask, have mercy on me. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he calls outwardly. What do they learn when the Lord makes them to walk and leads them on the path of unrighteousness? Well, then the ears are pricked and you hear what you never heard before. You've all heard the truth. That question will be asked this morning. You've heard the truth, you've learned the truth, and you agree with the truth. But then you receive different ears. Now you hear outwardly, but when now God's Spirit uncovers, then you say, oh, I've never heard it that way. That breaks the heart. We have sinned against the Lord. A godly sorrow is born in the heart, that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. I lead in, and righteous things prevailed over me. Then a salde, then a psalm that becomes dear, that explains the heart. You know what that people may ask the Lord? Lord, may I read in thy word who I am and whom thou art. They ask the Lord if they may read their name in the Bible, and then there can be a time. The time when the Lord uncovers them, then they seemingly read on each page of the Bible not how good they are, but that they read on each page of the Bible how wicked they are. Have you ever read that, young people? When it comes about the gospel and when it comes to the promises, you say, yeah, they are for God's people, but I'm standing outside. Oh, then there comes a need in your heart and a desire that it be true. I will lead, because there lies the wonder. I lead. That once I did work, oh, the people will say it in the first time. Have a little patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But they are not able to pay. They learn to know God in His majesty, in His holiness, who cannot step over sin. Yeah, the Lord is good doing and long suffering, and He is patient. Then it becomes a wonder in the morning that you wake up. And then it becomes a wonder in the evening. That the Lord has not dealt with you according to your sins. And then there comes a longing in your heart that you do not dare to sleep in the evening before you have opened your Bible and read your meditation and have asked, Lord, may I receive a little token that thou still knowest about me. There's a restlessness in the heart of that people. I lead. Because outside the communion with God, and outside being restored in that communion, there is no life. You can find that people in their inner room. Maybe they don't speak about it then. Because it might be that this elder, or this minister, or that minister might think I'm converted, but I'm unconverted. You understand it? You find them in the inner room. Lord, whom art thou? Wilt thou reveal thyself? And righteous things prevail over me. Och, in my heart there live so many iniquities. How can I ever be reconciled with thee? I lead. I try to do my best. Yeah, then you open your Bible. And that the Lord speaks in His word, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. But Lord, I have no righteousness. I lead in the way of righteousness. You know what that also means? When you start a way, children, when you start somewhere, are you then right away at the end already? No, you start at the beginning, right? And from step to step, from part to part, you may continue. I lead, so the Lord leads His people step by step in the way of righteousness. My unrighteousness uncovered, my self-righteousness broken down. And there is so much of that, isn't there? My self-righteousness broken down, even the fruits of grace as a fruit for salvation. Everything broken down. Now what is there left? And to thee I lift mine eyes. And to thee who hath said, I lead, Lord, I cannot lead myself. Or it must be I lead myself astray. I lead, I make to walk. What a wonder. When He then opens the eyes of a guilty one for that salvation that lies outside of self. For that salvation, that righteousness that lies in Christ, that they may see that there is a way outside of me. Ah, and how will He then become mine? And how will I then become thine? I will, even there, I will. I lead. Lead me. And that psalter becomes so dear, we sang it. Lead me in thy righteousness. And I stand there before a righteous God, having nothing but sin and iniquity. as one who must perish,
who can only bow his head in shame. I lead in the way of righteousness, that righteousness that saves from death in Christ. What a wonder when he then opens the eyes for him who has never done any sin. What may then the heart leap for joy? What may then the heart cry out unto the living God in love, that I may know him and that I may follow on to know him, when he now comes in between that holy judge and that unholy sinner that has been stripped from everything? I lead in, I make to walk. Isn't that a wonder? What a joy may then fill the heart when they see that way of salvation in him. What a desire may then live in their heart. Oh, may I know him and follow on to know him. See what is now the first and the most important in our life. That is that heart renewing grace. That is that justification. That is that we be reconciled with God. That we may learn how now a lost sinner may receive that salvation outside of self. And when that great I becomes precious, you know what then happens? Then my I fades. Then I become nothing. Then myself must die. I lead. And it is not a minister doing that, and it is not your instructor in confession class that could do that. Then it is only from above. I lead in. In. As deep. Not only upon. In. That means it becomes an inward matter in the heart. I lead in the way of righteousness. We have to examine ourselves whether we know something of it. Whether now that great and chief prophet and the only high priest and that eternal king has ever opened our eyes for the broad way that leads to destruction. No, I do not say that outward knowledge, because that's there. But inward knowledge that teaches a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And there is no rest anymore. Rest, no peace is found until you may find it in that great I lead, I make to walk. I do walk. What is that a wonder? If that may take place. You may say all the outward knowledge is a privilege. Because we have to be steadfast in the truth. And we have to watch against the heresies that come in so easily. Sometimes in such a way that you hardly notice it. In a way that it sounds biblical, but it is just off. And in the end, it leads astray. I lead. Oh, that it may become or be our prayer, Lord, wilt thou lead me on the way everlasting. And where does he then lead his people? Well, we see it in the midst of the path of judgment. Because Christ came not only to give knowledge and as righteousness, but he also comes and he also came for the sanctification. The Lord, when there now comes a change of heart, there comes also a change of life. And no, that doesn't mean this morning that you can say, my dear confession students and congregation, that doesn't mean
that as long as you are still unconverted and as long as you are nicely and decently in church on Sunday morning, then it doesn't matter when you walk during the week in a worldly way. And when you meet boys, you don't even recognize them as members of the church. And when you meet girls, then you say, oh, it's just the world. And that we say, but no one sees it. No, there is an eye that sees all things. Eye of whom it is here in the text. Who knows all the things in the path of judgment. And that is necessary time and again, isn't it? Because even after received grace, God's children are prone to halt and stumble. When the apostle Simon Peter thought he could lead himself, and he knew it all, then he fell, and he denied his master with a curse and with an oath. And that oath made undone in his own heart and experience what he had given as an oath before. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did he need? I lead. I bring in the path of righteousness. But then we need that life of a Joseph when all the temptations came. And that light so tender in the heart of that young man. And he was there in that house of Potiphar. And when he was given to say, how shall I now do such a great evil and sin against God? I lead in the path of judgment. You know what had come in the life of that young man Joseph? A spiritual love and discernment for the ways of the Lord, inwardly in his heart and outwardly in his life. And therefore he could do but one thing. He fled away. Oh, Joseph did not have the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples yet. But the matter was in his heart. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That's why he could not stay there. But he fled. That I may cause, there you have the fruit, that I may cause them that love me to inherit substance, them that love me, in other clear mark of grace. Young people, you will confess this morning that you love the truth. So wonder. Because maybe there are also parents among us who've seen their children go astray and who feel the pain in their heart. And who must say, oh Lord, convert my other children. I will cause that love me to wonder that we love the truth. But now there is but one thing needful, that we love him who said, and I am the truth. He who speaks here in this text, I may cause and I will fill those that love me. No, that is not a love that proceeds from man. But that is a love that the Lord sheds in the heart. In that moment that he grants life unto the soul and says, thus far and not further, those that love me. By nature, there is a love for the world. By nature, there is so much self-love. By nature, we are haters of God and our neighbor. By nature, we are not included in these words. But when now God's Spirit works, that I may cause them that love me, that is a love that he sheds in the heart, and that also may be an exercise. And how you now know that? whether that love may be in your heart, yes or no. Well, then that spirit you will weigh, that takes the most important place in your life. When our two young people love each other, what is then the most important in their daily life? It's not someone else. It's not themselves. They are not selfish, but then they are focused on the other. And now the Lord gives love in the heart. What is then the fruit? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do unto thee? O Lord Jehovah, do I lift my waiting soul? That's not the people that has it all, but that is a people that cannot miss it either. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me. They know it can only come from above, that I may cause them that love me. They study the scriptures, as Paul says to Timothy. There comes a hunger and a thirst out of love for the truth. And the more the Lord teaches them, the more they say, I'm of yesterday, I know nothing. Love me to inherit substance. And what is to inherit? Well, that has to do with the testament, with the will. And Paul, he writes it in Hebrews 9, and maybe you can read it at home later. He writes in Hebrew that the testament, that the will, is only fixed and sure in the dead, not in the living. They can change it yet 10 times. But when now the testator dies, he who wrote the will, when he dies, then that testament cannot be changed anymore. And what does Paul then do? Then he points away unto Christ, and to that eye of our text. And then he may say, and we read it so clearly, for a testament is of force after men are dead, but it is of no strength while the testator liveth. And then he may point unto Christ, who died for sinners, and in whom there lies an inheritance, a treasure not on earth. We can be busy with the things of the earth, gathering a treasure more and more here and now. But the treasures on earth, moth and rust can corrupt, and thieves can break through and steal. But that is a people that has but one desire. May I now receive a token of his favor. That's but one desire. May I now receive out of the treasure that is never emptying, that the Lord knows about me. The treasure that he has laid away for those that fear his name. And what is now the treasure? The Lord says it, that's I myself. I am thy shield, he said to Abram, thy exceeding great rewards, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Substance, what is that? Well, substance says it's not empty. You can receive a box nicely packed and wrapped, and you open it, it's empty. But what the Lord gives, there is substance in. There's substance in. Because that's himself. That's his precious son. I will. Those whom thou hast given me may be there where I am, that they may behold my glory, those whom thou hast given me. There is substance in. That is taught by him, that is given by him, that I may cause them to inherit. They don't take it, no. He causes them. What does it mean? He gives it. And there is also the element in from unexpected, undeserved. Sometimes a person receives an inheritance with substance they never counted on, they never expected it. Now that's what is meant here, that I will cause them that love me to inherit substance. That salvation that he has laid away for those that fear him. That salvation to be delivered from self and world and sin. Even from the remaining sin and that depravity that lives in me. Of which I can only loathe and humble myself. I will cause them to inherit, so man is just placed outside. And that becomes an eternal wonder. My young people and older ones, when now the Lord brings his people home, that lies in the text, then it is never because of anything in me, but then it is an eternal wonder. And they say with John Bunyan, when I now may come there, and all the bells of heaven will ring. Cause to inherit substance, and that for one who sinned it all away. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear it. David said it already in Psalm 31. And he could never have enough of bewondering what now the Lord has in store for them that love him. No, not because that love comes out of man, but because he has given them that love. To inherit substance. And I will fill their treasure. You hear? I will. One-sided, I will. Young people, always remember that. I will. And my I will falls aside. It's not important anymore. And the Apostle Paul said, I will. And he went with letters to Damascus, and I will take them, and I will kill them, and I will cast them in prison, and I will have a pleasure in their death. But when now that great I will stood up, I stopped Paul there right before Damascus, why persecutest thou me? And this became true. I will. And what does the Lord do? Young people, what does the Lord give? Does he give only a little bit? Ah. God's children, for them it is already a wonder if they may at moments receive a crumb, right? If they may at moments receive a little crumb. A token from the master's table. But you know what now Christ says? I will fill. And what is that? I will fail. That's right to the brim. It's totally full. So what does now the Lord do? He gives those moments here on earth and once forever that their heart may overwhelm. I will fail. And that their mouth may overflow. I will fill the treasures. Oh, that wonder that the Lord now has looked upon such a rebel as I am. I will fill the treasures. And how is that now? The life of young and old this morning, you and me. How is that now? Because the people has a future. I will fail. After they must learn here on this earth so often their poverty. Lord, I have nothing. Poorer and poorer. Needy and sorrowful to thee I cry. I will fail. There lies the hope for eternity. There lies the hope not in man but in him. I will. Christ who has obtained it all. In his pierced hands, in his pierced side, there lies it all. A fountain that is never empty. Fill the treasures. That eternal glory be delivered from self. The honor of his name to hear it enter in, ye blessed of my Father, and to sing there a song of thankfulness and praise. I will fail. Beloved, there is but one thing needful. How shall the young now direct his way? If it may be by the great I lead, I will cause, I will fail. And that not only at the beginning, but time and again. But if we are strange of it, if our own I and I will and I will cause stands on top, you will be so utterly disappointed. Then you can say, I have done confession. Then you can say, and I have maybe received a position in the church, and I've always been under the truth, and I have been pious, and I have been righteous in mine own eyes. But the Lord will tell you, I know you not whence you cometh. Then even your confession will testify against you one day. But oh, that we then may bow our knees. I lead, I will cause. Lord, there lies the hope. Wilt thou then begin in my life? And see if there is a wicked way, and lead me on the way everlasting until the church be delivered from self. There lies the hope, O struggling people. And there lies also the expectation outside of self. More and more to hunger in him. More and more to be dependent on him. More and more at moments to receive from him. Until the Lord brings them home. I will. That he may be there. Where I am. And then he will receive. The glory. Forever. Amen. We will sing. 389. Stanza 5. Lord, save me. From my foe to thee, for help I flee. And what follows in the fifth of 389. We have now come to the moment that young people will do public confession of faith. May I ask them to stand up? And who could it be with mouth and heart answer the questions that will be asked you? First,
Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Secondly, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Thirdly, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? And finally, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Eric Joshua Corvar? Thomas John Brower, Anna Nelinde Colmes, Savannah Ruth Lacroix, Karina Susan Engelen, Johanna Elisa Den Dekker, Devin Gary Breman, Erica Lynn Breman, Colleen Tina van Brugge, Heidi Shelley van Pelt, Carrie Lynn De Bee, William Maurits De Bee, Matthias Daniel De Bee, Stephen Michael van Voort, and James Eric Lee Groeneweg. Dear young people, what a special moment. You have all clearly given your answer, a profession with your mouth. And we could all hear it, yes. Was it now with a sigh? O Lord, who is sufficient to these things? Was it now with a desire? Lord, may our sufficiency be of thee. Or was it now in your heart? What a wonder that we heard it this morning. I lead, I will, that I do not need to do it myself, and that I must learn that I'm not even capable of doing that myself. You know what now Solomon says? No, you know what the greater Solomon Christ says in the closing of this chapter? He says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, was waiting at the posts of my doors. So those are not confession students or confessing members that have said, and now I've heard it, and now I've learned it, and now I never need to be busy with it. No, Christ says, you're daily watching, daily opening, that we're daily studying it, daily sighing, may it be applied daily at my gates and at the posts of the door. May I hear something as the people that come to God's house? No, they are not saying, what sermon shall that elder now read? Or what will we hear this day? But they are coming with a hunger and a thirst, empty. Blessed are they, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor from the Lord. Findeth me, because he wants himself to be found. And they may now find it all in him. Young people, you are now full professing members. You have been for many years a baptized member. You are now a professing member. I hope you will not rest before you may become a living
member of the church. Before you may know what the Lord has done in your life. And you may say on good grounds, I may not deny it, and you now go home. Not wherewith shall the young preserve his way, but also with their petition at the end of this Psalm 119, grant life unto my soul, because those are blessed. Then all the goods of the world have no value. But then there is but one thing that has value. That is him who is the treasure that never fades. Young people, may the Lord make you a blessing personally, your family, in the congregation. And parents, isn't it a wonder? You may be here with your children and witness it. And I mentioned it already, there can be a grief too in the heart. I will. Yeah, that is the hope. He can also bring prodigal sons and daughters back. Congregation, receive these young members with a praying heart to the great I. That he will lead them, each of us, on the way everlasting. So be it. Will we now sing? And we do that standing with and for these young people. 442, the fourth. God will himself confirm them with his blessing. And on the roll of nations, he will count. It is the fourth of 442, and we do that standing. Now close with prayer. Almighty Lord, may that become true in the life of each of these young people and in the life of each of us. One God, one faith, confessing. We may receive that knowledge of the heart and the confession of the mouth, that thou art worthy to receive the honor. Lord, remember these young people with the parents, the loved ones. Remember the entire congregation. Remember the mourning ones among us who stood at an open grave in the day of yesterday. But to bring the dear mother to the grave and grant a great grandmother. Lord, uphold and strengthen for the unknown future. And may the calling by thyself be sanctified. Go with us when we leave this place. Give us a blessed Sabbath day and bring us in this evening faithfully again in thy house. We ask. For Christ's sake alone. Amen. Psalm 40. The stanzas 4 and 6. Such treasure no gold can supply. And I pray that my words and my tongue may all with thy precepts accord. 4 and 6.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.